When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How we doing on this fine day before winter solstice Friday in New York City? At 4:21 a.m. on Saturday morning, winter will finally be here. Welcome in to Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Very busy day. A lot of football talk, some baseball talk as well, with Christian Walker signing a contract with the New York Yankees. We haven't spelled, not with the New York Yankees, with the Houston Astros.
Yeah,
I don't want to misspeak that.
Right,
he's not a Yankee.
Be lucky.
We have not talked much about the Jets today. The Jets have been spared the embarrassment. And yesterday, just like pretty much every day this season, it's been embarrassing for the Jets. Whether it's the losses, whether it's the firings, whatever you want to come up with, this has been a bad, bad year. And one of the things I hate about being a Jet fan is how we constantly get laughed at. Last night, the Jets got laughed at again. Because this was the question on Final Jeopardy.
It's the only team to play in the Super Bowl before Neil Armstrong's moonwalk that has not been back to the big game since. 30 seconds, players. Good luck.
Like, even the tone of the question. We're throwing in Neil Armstrong. We're throwing in how long it's been. You can even hear the tone of, what's his name, right. Ken Jennings. It's like, ugh. So you see that question, and as a Jet fan, you're like, ah, here we go.
Yeah, I know this is us.
And even the answers annoyed me. Like, if someone rang the bell, I know it's Final Jeopardy, so everyone has to answer, but if everyone was just like, oh yeah, the Jets, I think it would have been less painful. But instead, the answers went like this.
He wrote down the Cleveland Browns, and I'm afraid that's not one of the teams that played in an early Super Bowl.
So I got to hear that. By the way, Cleveland Browns was like a fair guess, right?
Oh, it's a fair guess. So are the Detroit Lions.
That would be your guess?
No, I know.
Let me take that back. You know the answer.
Right.
If you are an ignorant football person,
yeah,
those would be the teams?
Yeah, because they have not played in the Super Bowl.
That's right. So saying the Cleveland Browns didn't even annoy me. It was kind of the next answer that annoyed me.
He wrote down the Giants, and that's also not correct.
Giants? That would annoy me too.
What?
The Giants. I don't know why that bothered me.
Isn't it amazing how they just throw the most obvious sports questions on Jeopardy, and these really smart people have zero idea.
Well, I think it shows you smart people don't watch sports.
What do people like that do on a Sunday? I say that genuinely.
Not watch football.
like a fall or winter Sunday, what are those people doing?
I don't know, spending time with their significant others?
But right. Doing
or
what?
Reading in a library?
Right, reading a book.
Go for a walk.
I mean, honestly, when you frame it that way, I'm jealous of these people. Because I feel like their lives are better by not wasting their time watching garbage football
100%.
Teams. 100%. Yeah, like I hear that and I'm like, that's a cleansed, healthy human being.
It's not a bad take.
Thank you. Like, I'm jealous of
they're
the person.
They're not getting unnecessarily emotional about something that they have no control
no
over.
No control okay. over.
But if I was a therapist, I would say they probably have too much bottled up emotion because they don't have a way to
go fishing.
Exercise it.
Go for a
but
run.
But they're fish. Also doing things on Sunday that we don't have time to do.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Going to a planetarium?
Well, that's kind of fun, actually.
A museum, a movie.
Yeah. Like all of those things are cool things to do. You act like they're geeky and stupid. They're not.
when you get to, it gets cold, November, December, January, your options are limited.
Lock yourself in a bedroom with your significant other.
You got to be rattling off anytime touchdown parlays and just sitting there like a red-blooded American. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, you're kind of a loser.
What if you'd like your money in your own bank account?
Yeah, I was going to say. Like, think about it. Think about what you're saying. By the way, here was the final guess, and then finally Ken Jennings begrudgingly told the world that the New York Jets are an absolute joke.
Her response was, Houston, also not correct. No. The Packers, the Colts, the Raiders, and the Chiefs have all been back, but the winners of Super Bowl III, the Jets, are having a pretty rough 55-year streak, I think.
Oh, my God. He, like, poured it on.
I know.
This is the problem, and this is something right. I've said a lot about it's the like, Jets.
Did you even actually know that, or are you just reading?
Oh, yeah, no idea. That's because he's smart. Like I said, smart people don't watch football on Sundays because they know how to maximize their life in a healthier way. But what annoys me about this is that there are teams, the Jets are one of them, the Mets have been one of them for a while, the Knicks were one of them for a long time, where LOL is connected to them. And that's an example. Because here's the reality. The Detroit Lions are a bigger joke when you really think about it. They haven't been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, true.
The Cleveland Browns are a bigger joke. Like, there are bigger jokes, maybe not in the last 14 years during this playoff streak, but overall, there are bigger jokes. But because we're New York and because we're the Jets, we get LOL'd. And that's the point I've always made about the way the Mets are treated, about the way the Knicks are treated. Now, luckily for the Knicks and the Mets, they're fighting out of it. Like, they're getting their way out of it where making a Nick joke is just stupid. Making a Met joke, like we heard on Saturday Night Live the day before they signed Juan Soto, ages poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jets, I mean, we are the joke of the sports universe.
Same old Jets.
And the non-sports universe.
And the non-sports universe. Ken Jennings is laughing at us on Jeopardy. And then all night last night, this is the part that annoyed me, and that's why I'm sharing it with all of you, and you probably already know this, every text chain I'm in, did you see Jeopardy?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the link. Did you see the final Jeopardy question answer? I mean, it's constant. Like, even when we have a chance to take a deep breath and not be a joke or a joke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. The problem
you
is.
You don't know what I mean.
I don't, but I feel your. No, I don't even feel your pain. I empathize.
Yeah, you got nothing. You got nothing. Because the Giants.
I get it, though. Because it's just. So here's the challenge. The Jets sign Aaron Rodgers. And it becomes, I mean, truly one of the biggest things in football. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was talking about it. I mean, hell, Netflix did a special on Aaron Rodgers after he tore his Achilles. So, like, this expectation just became massive. And then it failed, like, spectacularly.
Yeah.
And you had all this attention on you, but the failure became more, I think, relevant to non-fans and non-Jet fans than the hype.
Well, I think
you know what
that...
I mean? It was like, that's what y'all get for being so hyped up about Aaron Rodgers.
I think it's a small part of it. I think that no matter what the Jets did with Aaron Rodgers, they are a popular enough New York team with LOL attached to them.
No, I don't think it's that. Because
can I tell you why, though?
No, I think about the non-fan. So, I'm surprised that these Jeopardy contestants didn't even think about the Jets because of how big of a story Aaron Rodgers was. And the fact that Aaron Rodgers himself hosted Jeopardy.
Oh, that's true. I forgot about
right?
that.
So
he was a Jeopardy host.
So when you think about, I know. I how do you prepare for Jeopardy? Probably the same way you prepare to play a football game. You go watch tape of whoever you're playing. I'll go watch old episodes of Jeopardy.
They just assumed he was some old weird guy.
2 years ago, Aaron Rodgers was the host of Jeopardy.
Right.
So they had to have known who he was. They had to know what he played for.
Nah, I think they just
like,
saw him as
the connection just. It should have hit, and it didn't.
Now, I think when you're not into sports, it's like not being into wrestling and knowing who Dwayne The Rock Johnson is, but not realizing he's the people's champion or anything he did in pro wrestling. You just know, oh, yeah, that's a famous wrestler, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. That's a famous football player, Aaron Rodgers.
But wouldn't you assume if you are a non-wrestling fan and you know The Rock that he's successful?
Yeah, but what does that have to do with knowing about the Jet?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't know what I mean? It has nothing to do with the Jets.
I don't know. I'm just...
Listen, I think there's two things here. Number one, smart people who are in Jeopardy are smart enough to not waste their lives watching horrible sports teams.
They've been in the abyss for 55 freaking years.
Congratulations to them. The second part is there are certain teams that are attached to being made fun of. Mm. The Jets are one of them. Like, it's funny, right now, if you're watching on TV, you see I'm wearing my Jet bandana, but I'm also wearing a Brooklyn Net ugly sweater t-shirt. The Brooklyn Nets would never be a joke on Jeopardy because nobody cares.
The Nets still in the league.
And by the way, they had the biggest failure in the history of sports, or one of the biggest failures, with the Durant-Kyrie failure, but they're not going to be an LOL joke on Jeopardy. There are certain teams, the Jets are one of them, the Knicks are another, again, they're fighting out of it, and the Mets are another, they're fighting out of it, who are connected to the LOL.
The Jets killed Carl.
And it sucks, because it's not only battling the fact that the team is bad, it's not only battling the fact that the owner is clueless, you battle this, you battle the fact that they're a running joke, not just amongst you as a Jet fan, but nationally, even with people who don't care about sports. And that's why when I saw that, it was like, ugh, so typical.
But even yesterday with that Athletic report, if that had come out about the Chiefs and a Madden rating, nobody would care. It's the Jets, so when you attach a Madden rating and all, they nixed the trade because of that, because it's LOL Jets and it's New York, that's why it's more of a headline.
Ask yourself this, would there even be the reporting if it was a different
Probably team? Not, though, but to be fair, that the report's there because of the dysfunction. You fire people, they go run into the press.
But it's also a click-worthy story.
Absolutely.
Certain franchises are not as click-worthy.
100%. The Lions used to be like that. The Knicks used to be like that.
Now, that doesn't mean it shouldn't be reported. Like, if you're a dysfunctional mess like the Jets are, I'm glad it's reported. I mean, we should know as a fan. I want to know what's going on. But
I'm just saying,
it just adds to it.
When you fire people, they loose lips sink ships.
Well, yeah, that's how everything
Someone went chirping to the Athletic.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we know that. Yeah, we know that. Yeah. That's basically how every story gets out.
Right.
Disgruntled employees or fired people. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. How are you, Mike?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
Well, I would love to watch the Red Zone one Sunday, rooting for teams to lose, for the Giants to be having playoff implications. I find myself watching the Red Zone, rooting for teams to win. I don't know if you're 2 weeks ago that week that the fella bet $3 million on the Eagles to win over the Panthers. The Panthers were a fingertip away from winning that game on that long pass in the last 30 seconds. So about a minute later, the Patriots gave up a touchdown on fourth down, and the Colts went for two.
Yep.
They ended up losing. And in the same week, the Raiders botched the snap where they could have kicked the field goal and beat the Chiefs.
you're right.
As you guys know, if the Giants win a game and there's a bottleneck of three-win teams, their strength of schedule, the Giants would be picking sixth. They're going to lose every tiebreaker. The Patriots, the Panthers, there's not a three-win team that the Giants aren't going to lose that tiebreaker with, so they can't win any more games. I mean, they're not trying to lose, but...
Yeah, so you're right in terms of picks. The tiebreakers for draft status is so weird. It's based on strength of schedule.
Yeah.
And what's really weird about this is if you go to, like, Tankathon, they will give you the current strength of schedule based on the remaining part of your schedule. But if you look elsewhere, it's just who you've placed to that point.
Right, which is the one that matters more. Not because the strength of schedule of the teams that you haven't played and haven't finished their season could change.
Well, they all could change, right? Isn't that how it works? Like, it's based on...
Well, it is going to change.
Right, so that really number you're looking at is not even accurate to the way it's going to end.
No, it can't be.
Is why we play tank bingo, and I let you know why you need teams to lose.
Yeah, but even you get confused by tank bingo.
Right, but you also have to look at the teams that have... The schedule of the players of the teams that have already played. Like, they're... Their record now, not right. Their record going forward.
Right, right, right.
That's when it gets complicated.
Well, so right now, if you go to Tankathon, the Las Vegas Raiders have the edge on the Giants based on strength of schedule, but it's close enough where that can change based on results. So even if the Raiders and Giants finish with the same record, which right now they do have the same record, so they both lose out, depending on what happens to the teams that they've played, that could change the strength of schedule.
Well, the Giants are going to have... if say it's all equal right now, the Giants have a harder strength of schedule.
And that's a bad thing for the tiebreaker.
That's a bad thing because they have the Falcons, who are basically, and they can win the division, the Falcons.
Sure, they still got a shot,
And then the Eagles left. So.
Here's what we've learned through this. They need a lottery, as we've talked about a few days ago. The NFL needs to follow the NBA script and get an actual lottery system to determine the top picks in this draft. Marcel in Central Islip. How are we doing today, Marcel?
Hey, Evan, Tiki, thank you guys for taking the call.
Pleasure. What's up?
I just want to mention something about the Pete Alonso, the contract, like what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Listen, I would never tell anybody, hey, don't go for this job or don't go for this position. I would always tell the people, go make as much money as you can. Whatever it is, try and go get paid, that. But. And I want Pete Alonso to get the most money he can. I think he earned it. But at some point, Pete Alonso's got to read the room and understand that I don't think he's going to get the 6-7 years that he's looking for, or Scott Boras is pushing him to look for. If I'm Pete, I go straight to Uncle Steve, Uncle Cohen, and I tell him, listen, 4 years, $100 million.
But I don't think, to your point, Marcel, on December 20th, he needs to do that right now. He has an agent, and I know it's failed in the past, but sometimes it's also worked, who will sometimes take his clients into February and March.
Right.
And as bad as last year worked out, Bryce Harper worked out okay. And he took Bryce Harper into mid to late February.
Yeah, but doesn't that feel like a different era ago? I know it's only a few years, but it feels like it was a different time.
It is, but... Let me walk you through this with Pete Alonso and Scott Boras. And I'm certainly not giving Scott Boras advice. He can do whatever the hell he wants. And as a Met fan, I'm selfish. I want Pete back.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Boras could be thinking to himself, you know what? I got no market for Pete Alonso. It's true. There's no market whatsoever. But I know the Mets need him. I know what they told Juan Soto.
Right.
They told Juan Soto, we're going to be active. So far, they have not been incredibly active in terms of bigger ticket items since they signed Juan Soto. And as first baseman options come off the board, like Christian Walker, like potentially Paul Goldschmidt, don't you think if you're Scott Boras, you're surmising that the pressure may start to squeeze on the Mets just a tad at some point they give in on some of those
demands? I think you're leaning too much into the whole, I like the plan, I like what they said they're going to do going forward. Great, fantastic. But that doesn't necessarily mean we're compromising our future to get a win now team. David Stearns is not going to do that.
Okay.
He's going to do what he did last year and what he's continually do this year. Sign these maybe marginal pitching lab savable pitchers on short-term deals. I don't see them imprudently spending money.
But here's the difference with Pete, which is different than the pitching argument. Maybe David Stearns is saying privately, 3 years, $23 million a year, that's as far as I'll go.
Yeah.
Well, as the offseason continues and options come off the board, and it's only money, not losing draft picks, not losing bright, it's money, at some point do you start to say, geez, these other options are not great. Let me tell Steve we should go to a fourth year.
They just don't want him.
Well, if they don't want him, my return fire would be, okay, well, then what's your plan? Because they need another slugger in this lineup.
Vientos.
No, but then who's your third baseman?
Beatty.
That's
he's not traded
play.
Yet.
Yeah, but it's to me, Beatty should be more of a super utility player.
I know.
Or maybe a DH option.
I know what you,
well, I'm just disagreeing with the plan. I'm saying it wouldn't be good
don't
enough.
Don't forget, Brett Beatty started the season last year.
No, and I'm willing to give Brett Beatty an opportunity to play, but not the way you described it. As the everyday third baseman? Look, they do it. They could do it. I'm going to rip it. And I won't be the only one.
Mm.
I think that's a dangerous game to play. And I'm all for young players getting an opportunity. And I still think Brett Beatty can have an opportunity with the Mets, not as the guaranteed opening day third baseman. I think that's a grave mistake. And if that's the Met backup plan, it's a bad one. All I'm saying to you is, if I'm Boris, to answer our last caller's question, like, why would you wait? Just try to make a deal now. You wait because you think either the Mets or somebody else will give in.
Yeah.
Maybe not to 5 or 6 years, but to more than what they're offering.
Or you get stuck like Cody Bellinger,
having to take a short-term opt-out kind of deal?
Yeah.
By the way, that's my dream. Mm. Pete Alonso, 3 years, $90 million. Okay, $30 million a year, which is an overpay. Opt out after year one. I'd sign that deal tomorrow. And if I'm the Mets, I'd feel good about it.
But that's an overpay.
It's an overpay, but in a short-term deal.
Yeah.
Very short-term.
Yeah, so it's only 3 years.
I don't think the money is carrying them. I think it's the years.
Yeah.
So if I get you on a short-term deal, that's what I would offer him. Hoffman suggested that, too. And Pete Hoffman, who I do the Rico with, usually has terrible ideas.
Beyond terrible.
But that was a good one.
Very good one.
You admit that? You think that's a good idea?
So you're going with the idea of Alonso for a year, Vladdy for next year?
No, I didn't say.
The thought process,
no,
though?
No, it's a player option.
Yeah, it's a player option. So if Pete doesn't have a good year, he can opt in and get that second year.
Got it.
So it's the way for the Mets to get the 3-year contract they probably want to give him, but give Pete the flexibility to opt out.
Yeah, but I just don't see him. If he got a... If he had a great year,
mm-hmm.
who's going to sign him to a 5-year deal at 32?
Here's what I would counter with. And I know it's a different position, but I want to walk you down this. Blake Snell. Blake Snell.
Yeah, he's a pitcher, though.
But hold on. He won a Cy Young and could not get better than that 3-year deal I basically talked about.
Right.
Has a good year, but misses time. So not the same year. Opts out and he gets a 5-year contract and he's a year older. Riddle me that one.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You see what I'm saying?
No.
So just go have a good year. The market could be different enough. Because like next year's free agency is a little bit lighter. There are two really good players in free agency next year. Kyle Tucker and Vlad Guerrero Jr. So who knows? The marketplace could be just so different that Alonso gets the contract he wants. Yeah. Jim is in Elmont. What's up, Jim?
Hello, guys. It's Christmas time. I came up with a little Christmas-themed baseball song. May I, for the fan audience?
Of course, yeah, sure.
Have you heard Juan Soto's a Met? Unless you've been under a rock, ad nauseum, we heard Juan Soto's a Met. That's a day Yankee fans won't forget. Do you think Hal has any regret? I apologize to Bowie fans. Hey there, Juan, here's my wish for you. When you're 15 years are through, the Mets will be stuck on 2 titles. There'll be no dynasties. Are Yankee fans bitter? Why should they be? Soto scored the biggest bag in history. I hope he loves the money. Hey, Merry Christmas. Let's put it in the past. All good things weren't built to last. Hopefully Hal's working on a plan B and C. Put some more good players under our Christmas tree. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jim. I have an idea. I think the last hour of our show should just be callers singing random songs. That'd be a good way to go into the weekend. Just random, like, not AI, like literally callers writing their own music.
Sports
and just singing.
Themed. Sports themed.
Sports themed, fan host themed. Well, anyhow you want to do it.
They can't be worse than Joe Judge running that quarterback draw.
That's true.
You want to sing a song about Chris McMonagle's overnight? Sing a song about Chris McMonagle's overnight.
Which he's not doing tonight.
That's right, because he did the midday show today. I don't think he would have done it tonight anyway, because it's a Friday and a Saturday.
That's right.
What we call the Hoffman shift. Mm. We call that that means Evan and Pete are going to do a Friday night Rico time before he goes on the radio shift. Because that's usually what happens.
And then he'll do the Rico on his shift?
I don't know. I don't listen. No, I'm just kidding. I fall asleep. I do listen. Pete does an excellent job, and you should listen to him every Friday night in a Saturday, right around midnight, sometimes 2 a.m. Jeremy is in Pennsylvania. How are you, Jeremy?
Good. How are you? I'm a longtime listener. I'm a big fan of the show.
Appreciate it. What's up?
I wanted to bring up what you said earlier about the Cleveland Browns and Detroit Lions being bigger jokes than the Jets. In my opinion, the Jets are the biggest joke in the NFL because they've had far more talent and have nothing to show for it.
I mean, yes, in the last couple of years, but if you look at the totality of their history, not just the last 14 years, right, or not just the last 2 years, but the totality of their history, I would argue, and I think I'd be right, to say they've had more success than the Cleveland Browns, and they've had more success than the Detroit Lions. Now, this is not a contest I really like feel so much pride in winning. It's basically who's less pathetic. And I know it's a sad argument, but if you're judging it on the last 14 years, we win. The Jets are the worst. I'll give you that. Yeah. But it's not like the Jets have always had this great amount of talent of underachieved.
You went back-to-back championship games.
And yeah.
So the success has been there. I think what are the cringeworthy moments? And I don't mean that like technically, but like just it was so bad. It was just like, oh, God, really?
But you know what, T? Here's what I'd argue about the cringeworthy moments. They sometimes get overstated because of LOL Jets.
And the market.
Yeah, the butt fumble is a completely overrated moment. We all know that.
And I'm seeing ghosts and all these other things. But in Cleveland, like you pay a quarterback, you guarantee 90% of his contract, and he's terrible, and you want him off the team.
Isn't that more pathetic?
Of course it is.
Would you not argue
that Cleveland?
Right. The Deshaun Watson acquisition, signing, and performance, in my humble opinion, is more pathetic than the Aaron Rodgers thing.
I would agree.
I think it is, because Aaron Rodgers came with, and eyes were wide open on this, with an inherent risk of being a 40-year-old quarterback. Like, we all knew it. We argued about it. Deshaun was the prime of his career. Plus, eyes wide open, again, you brought in a guy who was accused of doing all these horrible things.
Right. And he was a shell. He hadn't played.
Right. Like, think about this. Aaron Rodgers pisses people off because he says stuff that pisses people off. Mm-hmm. Right? That's Aaron Rodgers' crime. Oh, maybe he lied about his vaccine. Okay. Deshaun Watson is accused of doing horrific things to like 50 different female massages. Masseuses. Whatever. Like, if this was New York versus Cleveland and you flip the roles out, imagine what's that.
Well, technically Houston, because he was down in Houston.
Right, but in Cleveland in terms of acquiring him and giving him this fully guaranteed contract.
I think you were confusing masseuse with massage therapist.
Oh.
So you're trying to make massage therapist one word.
You know why I'm confused, Tick?
Massagist.
I have never received a massage other than like my wife gave me a couple.
Serious?
Yeah, I'm not a big massage guy. I like massage chairs, which I have in my office.
How could you not be a big one if you've never received one?
I just find the idea of anybody other than my wife putting their hands on me to be weird. Not into it.
What do you think they're going to do?
What if...
I think they're going to touch me and give me a massage, and I'd prefer to have that not happen unless it's my wife or it's a chair.
I smell what you're cooking there.
There's nothing to smell. I'm just telling you how I feel.
You don't want some type of reaction. So what if you did a couple...
No, because it doesn't... Well, hold on. Don't jump to conclusions and then brush it off. I'll explain it. I don't care if it's a man. I don't care if it's a woman. I don't care if I'm attracted to her or I'm not attracted to her or if I'm attracted to him, which I got to be honest, sometimes happens.
Strong, firm hands.
I don't want someone else touching my body in that way.
But Evan,
that's just how I feel.
You have such a bad back.
I know.
Wouldn't you want that relief or at least to try something? Let me throw this at you. What if you got a couple's massage and your wife was in the room?
Not interested.
Really?
Dude. I don't want anyone touching me. You could frame this however
you
want.
I understand that, but chiropractor. How about a chiropractor?
I don't want to cause angry emails. I was told that they're not real.
Oh, boy.
That's what I was told. I don't know if that's true.
Chiropractors?
Oh, they're real?
Not, they're not real
they
doctors.
Oh.
That's the belief.
At Sean Morash, if you want to yell at him.
You're
I don't know.
I'm not telling you that that's the deal. I'm telling you that's the perception.
Okay. Well, my point is...
Dr. Rob saved my career at times.
All right. I believe you.
He was our giant chiropractor.
The Giants hired a chiropractor?
Yeah, we had everything.
So they're real doctors, Sean. You can't say that.
No. Don't tell me I said that.
It's not just cracking your bones.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's what everybody thinks it is.
Gotcha.
It's ART. It's like your muscles get turned off. You can turn them back on. It's a bunch of different things.
I think I'd be open
to... psoas thing.
You have to show ass? What did you say?
Psoas.
Oh.
It's a... I don't know. I forget what it is. But it's so deep in your pelvis.
Yeah.
And if it's strained or tight, you can't move. Mm. And so the digging in of the psoas, it hurts, dude.
That's so weird when you say psoas.
Right. But it is.
It sounds like you're saying something else.
No, show ass is what you do when you get the massage.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I'm not interested in the massage. The chiropractor thing I could be open to.
Yeah.
But I'm not a massage guy.
If you have back issues, you should think about it.
Well, I have the chair in my office. Haven't you experienced it?
You gotta get adjusted.
What does that mean?
Just your hips could be... Like, you could have back issues because your hips are... just slightly off.
You know why I have back issues? I got run over by a taxi.
Which might have taken your hips slightly off.
By the way, the same thing happened to Tracy. This was like 4 years ago.
She got run over by a taxi?
No, she was sledding down a hill,
And she went with the kids because the kids didn't want to go by themselves. And she fell off the curb. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Into the street, hit the curb.
Oh.
And her back's been hurting ever since. Oh. I'm like, you need to go see a chiropractor. I guarantee, I bet you're just off. Just like a little bit.
Right, right, right.
Just, and if you get it adjusted, and you'll probably feel a ton better.
I think I'm more open to a chiropractor the way you described it than someone who massages me, which is why, just to get back to what we were saying, why I confused what Deshaun Watson or the person that did that to him.
Yes.
Even though he was really doing stuff to them.
Yes.
The point is, if you think about Deshaun Watson and everything about that, what he was accused of, him being traded, the guaranteed money, and the performance, I think it dwarfs the Aaron Rodgers situation by 50.
No, I think you're right.
But the difference is it's in Cleveland, and we are the LOL Jets, which is my point. There's just a different microscope for some of these specific New York teams. More of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. We've talked about tanking today. Sean Morash will supply us with the information for Tank Bingo. As a Jet and Giant fan, what you need to have happen over the weekend to help you with better draft pick status. Plus, something very odd happened in the city of Chicago. A former great player needed to get down on his hands and knees and beg for forgiveness. We'll explain why it happened and if it needed to happen coming up. And I'm sort of intrigued by it. Sammy Sosa, who has disappeared for many, many years, he also looks very different. And I don't want to make any comments on it because if it is health related, I don't want to mock it because I really don't know what it is, but his skin tone looks completely different. And maybe he's got some. I don't know. But Sammy Sosa, who's disappeared for many, many years, all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, writes a letter. And that letter is to all of us. He writes, "I left it all on the field for the Cubs and Cubs fans because I wanted to win and make the fans happy." What the hell is going on? "I love to see the fans at Wrigley and the right field bleachers every home game. I understand why some players in my era don't always get the recognition that our stats deserve. There were times I did whatever I could to recover from injuries in an effort to keep my strength up to perform over 162 games. I never broke any laws, but in hindsight, I made mistakes and I apologize."
Sounds like HGH.
It sounds like, yes. "We accomplished great things as a team and worked extremely hard in the batting cage to become a great hitter. Cub fans are the best in the world, and I hope that fans, the Cubs, and all can come together and we can move forward. We can't change the past, but the future is bright. In my heart, I have always been a Cub, and I can't wait to see the Cubs fans again." And I'm like, what the hell is this? And I remember that Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Cubs, has said, "We can't welcome Sammy back until he apologizes."
Right.
And on December 19th, 2024, many years after the steroid era and even Sammy's final game as a Cub, he releases this letter as if he needs to get down on his hands and knees and admit.
Well, he didn't admit
what we all know.
Well, he didn't admit.
Oh, he did. He did.
Drugs. He just kind of, he didn't say it explicitly.
He said
he alluded to it.
You know what this is?
This is 20 years. I'm just reading the Chicago Tribune headline. Sammy Sosa, Chicago Cubs reunion after another Christmas. This is a Christmas miracle ending 20 years of exile.
Well, because the Cubs had said, because the Cubs, wrongly, by the way, had said to Sammy, "We will never welcome you back until you publicly apologize for steroid use." And I'll take this a step further.
That's wrong of the Cubs.
I agree with you. I think this is pathetic. And also, Sammy Sosa wore 21. I'm not good at remembering numbers. Like, I know a lot about sports. I'm not a numbers guy. I remember Sammy Sosa wore number 21. Out of curiosity, I went to Baseball Reference. The Chicago Cubs have treated the number 21 like a cheap you-know-what. They've given it to everybody. The Cubs have been so disrespectful to this great player that the fact that they forced him to grovel in a letter admitting what we already knew
is
sad.
So why did he do it?
Because he misses the love. That's why. Because he misses the love and the adulation, and he hasn't had it, and now he can be welcomed back as a hero.
So he's missed it for 20 years, so he goes back at some point in 2025. What's going to be the reaction?
Heroes welcome. Hero. You know why? Because we as fans are not Tom Rickert and all these other owners. We as fans appreciate greatness, and we understand what that era was about. I forgive Sammy Sosa. I forgive Barry Bonds. I forgive Mark McGwire. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm putting them at the pantheon of baseball greats. I evaluate where they are based on my brain, and I know that they did things
right.
that enhanced them. But I'm also not going to hold it against them. And the fact that the Chicago Cubs, A, kept this man away, and then B, needed to publicly flog him like this is embarrassing. They're an embarrassing franchise. Mm. And Sammy, you deserve better than that. And we don't need to do that around here. We don't need to do that about anybody around here. I don't care what they did. Like, we can talk about it and have fair conversations on if they're a Hall of Famer and where they stand all time. I think those are all fair conversations. But to embarrass him the way they've embarrassed him, they handed out 21 to me. They probably offered it to me when I was there. They handed out 21 to everybody.
But I don't think that matters.
I mean, I think it does matter because that number needed to be retired. Are you kidding me?
The man got a Canyon of Heroes parade here in New York.
Did he?
You didn't know that?
For what? For the home run chase?
Yeah.
I know that Congress, like, passed some resolution. I don't remember that.
Yes.
We gave... Wait a second. I got a problem with that. We gave Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa Canyon of Heroes for
it? And I believe McGwire wasn't there. It was only Sosa.
Ugh. Whatever. Thank you for that piece of information, I don't love that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all.
The point is, we gave him a hero's welcome in New York, and it took this long to get him back in Chicago.
Well, I just don't think we take it, and I'm talking about the people of Chicago as well. I don't think they take it as personal as ownership does. Like, I think we're able to forgive. It doesn't mean we're forgetting. It doesn't mean we don't talk about steroids, but we would welcome these guys back.
I just find it hard to believe that it was just the steroids. It had to be something more than that.
It was the steroids.
What did they feel embarrassed? Did the Cubs feel like they got one put over on them?
Now, I know his ending in Chicago was kind of ugly, but he never even referred to that. His ending in Chicago was he left the stadium before the season ended, and it was like a bitter ending. Mm-hmm. But that's not what this was about, because he didn't even mention that in his apology. He didn't mention his corked bat against the Tampa Bay Rays. He mentioned the steroids, the PEDs. So that clearly was the hang-up, and I just think that's embarrassing that they forced this man right before Christmas to have to basically beg for forgiveness from some billionaire owner like he was deeply offended. And here's the hypocrisy of all of this. The owners knew, and the commissioner knew, and everyone knew what that was going on, so why don't they apologize?
Well, that's why I don't understand why this has been such a long grudge for the Chicago Cubs to the point where, and again, Sammy Sosa felt like he needed to get back involved in the Cubs community. He can do whatever he wanted to do. He could have chosen to not say anything ever and just disappeared to wherever he's living these days.
Which he did for a while.
And probably been perfectly fine.
Right.
But at whatever, almost 56, 57, whatever he is, sometimes you miss it, right? And I don't think that was the determining factor for him coming back just because he missed the fans?
I think there's probably more
the adulation.
Don't you think there's financial opportunities too, probably connected to it? Number retired, ceremony, your autograph value goes up.
So he did this to get his number retired then?
I think he did it to get what he deserves. Like, are the Yankees going to force A-Rod to do that at some point? Like, A-Rod's already admitted he did steroids.
He's basically tried to do that.
That's true. Yeah, he's pretty basically already done that. It's just, I read that letter, and I got to be honest with you, it's humiliating.
It's different, though, because A-Rod, he sued them.
Yeah, it is. Well, maybe he has to apologize for that. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know. It's
a little too late?
It's just an odd timing of this.
Because
I don't know what the... I don't know what the reasoning is.
Well, the Cubs have a winter convention, and the hope is Sammy can now be involved in that in January. So I think there are other opportunities for him. It's just, I didn't think anything like this was necessary, and I don't think fans feel this way anymore. I think we as fans, we talk about the steroid era, we have opinions on it, but I don't think we need the groveling. Like, Roger Clemens has never apologized or admitted steroid use. And most people have moved on with it. Mm-hmm. Like, either they love him or they hate him, and they don't need him to apologize. And I got to tell you, as somebody that doesn't like Roger Clemens, I don't need him to apologize. I don't need him to come clean. If he wants to, he has every right to.
Yeah, because what does it do?
It doesn't do anything, in my opinion. We know it. Now, he denies it to this day, and that's probably a part of it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to look at him any differently. It's over. It's a long time ago. So... Sammy, if you're out there, I kind of feel for you. Mm. I saw that and I just felt bad for you. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Kendrick's in Suffern. Hey, Kendrick.
Gentlemen, first let me say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Thank you for a great year on the radio. I know you guys got the memorable moments coming up in a little bit. For me, with my son, the American Dream Mall, when Lindor hit the home run, and then Vientos watching that game with you guys, that was awesome.
So that was awesome. I'm glad
that was a great...
I'm glad we could share that together. That was awesome. We did our show from American Dream. There was a huge Met playoff game going on. We did it with the people, including yourself. So you're right. On a personal level, that is certainly one of the top most memorable moments in 2024. It's a fun time.
For sure. Now, a few things here. One, gift-giving, and then a Jets, and then also a Mets quick point. So gift-giving. Tiki, as a Giant and a former player, it's a little awkward in the Giants this holiday season because usually the quarterback gives gifts to the offensive line. So I'm just wondering, are they going to get gifts from Minnesota? Is DeVito going to make chicken cutlets at mom's house?
Kendrick, I have breaking news about that. This is a real story. Daniel Jones, via Minnesota, has sent the Giants offensive line gifts. This is true. Daniel Jones has reached out to his former team because they did protect him for the first how many games of the season. And I didn't see. Did you see what the gifts were?
Yeah, it was tequila.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah,
that's cool.
He said, go get drunk, basically.
A limited edition.
limited edition tequilas.
So how about that? Daniel Jones reached out to his former teammates to give them that traditional gift.
It wasn't as good as Brock Purdy's gift to his lineman.
Yeah, he gave him cars for those that didn't see it, like real cars.
Or Joe Burrow gave his offensive lineman swords. Did you see this story?
Yes, I did see that.
Swords.
Yeah, like it was stepbrothers.
What are you going to do with swords?
Get Randy Jackson's autograph on it, I would think.
How do you cut your pork loins?
Not with a sword.
Why not?
That's a weird gift. I don't know if I like that. Joe Burrow's got to do better than that. Brock Purdy did a hell of a lot better than that. Gave him freaking trucks.
Yeah, but
it was
probably a sponsor thing. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? Oh, so you're saying that Purdy didn't even spend any money?
I mean, he might have spent some. I doubt he bought 12, whatever they were, Ford F-150s.
Do you think Daniel Jones bought the liquor?
Probably.
You think so?
I mean, if they're special edition, they're in great. I mean, I would buy my own gifts for the guys.
No, you're a better guy than these people. You're a better guy than Brock Purdy.
You're just talking about the expense. Brock Purdy hasn't been paid yet. I don't know how.
The story was $600,000 worth of trucks on a $900,000 salary.
Yes.
Yeah, no shot.
No chance. There's absolutely no chance.
It doesn't take anything away from the gift, though, because honestly, it's a thought that counts.
He facilitated it.
Yeah, so he still got it done.
It is what it is.
It's like the gift I got Sean yesterday that apparently I've heard his dad wants. He actually wants to take it from Sean.
Oh, yeah.
I got him this gift of a light-up Yankee Budweiser sign. But I'd admit this to you, Sean, and I did admit it yesterday. My parents found it in the attic. Like, it didn't cost me a dime, but it's the thought that counts, right?
It's nostalgic, it's different, and it's proof that your parents at one point were Yankee fans.
No, that is not the proof whatsoever at all. Did you give it to your dad? Because your dad liked that and wanted it.
I love my dad. He can go scratch.
You're not giving it to your dad?
I actually really like this. I have an outdoor sports bar. I'm hanging it. Yeah. He has one, too. He wanted to hang it there. No way.
Yeah, I think you should give it to your dad.
Why?
Because your dad... Your dad's older. He doesn't have as much time. Like, give it to him so he can enjoy it.
Are you talking about his mortality before the holidays?
I would say that about my parents. They have less, in theory, they have less time than me. I would want them to enjoy it.
My dad's going to get his Lowe's gift card, and he's going to be happy with it, okay?
Jeez.
I think Sean's dad would rather have a Giants franchise quarterback for Christmas than a Yankee sign. That's just me.
No, but he wants the Yankee sign. That's the difference. It's not like Sean is re-gifting something. His father listened to the show, saw the gift I got him, and actually reached out to him and said, hey, are you going to use that? I love that.
My dad gets enough.
Wow.
I gave him grandkids. He gets enough.
He brought you into the world, bro.
So he can go online, and he can look up the sign. He can buy one for his house.
Jeez. What do you think of this, T?
I think Sean's smart.
Thank you.
Keep it for yourself.
I think he's a bad guy. That's for damn sure. Let's go to Adam in Staten Island. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas. Love the show.
Appreciate it. What's up?
Evan, with the Jet LOL thing. I'm just curious. Are you a real Giant fan if you're rooting for the Giants to lose out? Because I remember a few years ago when the Jet fans were rooting to lose, we got criticized.
Yeah.
Because we were rooting for 0-16. But now it's like a business transaction for the Giants. I just want your opinion on it.
No, it's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up because I mentioned this earlier that this is such a tough issue that as a Jet fan, I never root against my team. I thought that year, the Trevor Lawrence year you're referring to, it was certainly the toughest in terms of making that decision, but ultimately I always rooted for the team. I really did.
You have to.
I did, but I think one of the other differences is, and I know this looks really stupid now, I admit this. This is not aged well.
Keep pulling up the headband. It looks fine.
I wasn't referring to that. I think I looked at 21 and thought maybe there wouldn't be a great difference between picking 1 and 2. Now, obviously, that turned out to be wrong. I own that. Zach Wilson sucks, right? I think in the Giant case, he also sucked, Tiki. He was failed, and he stinks.
His ability on the field sucked.
Yeah, I didn't say as a person. He's actually a really cool dude, considering what he was, you know, his mom's friend and all that.
I know, he has no problem.
His mom's friend.
Whatever it was.
His mom's, someone who was in his mom's class.
His mom's acquaintance.
So I looked at the Jets situation as, I still want to see my team win, and I didn't see the difference being as stark. I think in the Giants' case, the reason why I look at this so differently is if they win on Sunday, they could drop to 8. If they lose on Sunday, they're picking 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that is extreme difference.
True, but you also know they have 2 games left.
I understand.
So it's not like it just ends. The Eagles could have 0 to play for and play nobody.
You're right. It's a week-by-week thing, but if they do win...
85% of the
time. Which makes it more paramount they lose this week.
Right. It just adds to what this week means. And so that's why, it's fair to bring up what I thought about the Jets a few years ago. I was viewing things differently. I was looking at the draft. I was looking at the draft order. And I didn't think 1-2 would be that different. Now, I raised my hand. I was wrong. Obviously, 1-2 was hugely different. Not that Trevor Lawrence is Peyton Manning, but he's not Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
And I think the trajectory of the Jet franchise could have been very different if it was Lawrence versus Wilson. Sean's got a Cinco de 5-0 coming up, and then, I can't wait, we finally made it. The top 4 moments in 24 for 24, where we have been counting down the most memorable sports moments in New York of 2024.